Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in whom we have confessed our faith. Amen. Permit me to remind you of just the opening and closing verses of the scripture lesson which we have shared with identification that it should be our sermon text for this day. Philippians 1, verse 12, I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Verse 21, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My beloved, everybody is interested in getting ahead. That interest is live in people's bosoms, even if it is only to a certain point of security and consequent freedom that the getting ahead should reach. And most people have a fairly realistic notion of how fast and how far they can expect to get ahead. That notion is usually supplemented by a little unrealistic hoping that circumstances will develop which will allow getting ahead a little faster and perhaps a little farther than anticipated. The things that really represent getting ahead will vary from person to person. Money, social position, institutional position and power, leisure and the means to use it for pleasure, combinations of two or more of those things. But in any such listing, there seems to be one thing that is in common and provides a linking thread to the whole list. Getting ahead is achieving personal satisfaction for the present and for the immediate, that is, for the earthly future. Now, that description in which we've just indulged may seem to be especially appropriate for secular workers in a secular society. But observation and experience show that it's really not inappropriate for church workers in a church society, for people like you and me. Laid against that kind of a background, the Apostle Paul's idea of getting ahead, as he expressed it to the Philippians, is completely different, quite strange. On the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians there, suddenly struck by a bright light, blindness, hearing a voice, Paul responded, "Who are you, Lord?" The answer came with audible clarity for him. I am Jesus. You will be told what you are to do. Struck blind as he was, Paul could have rebelled in a random rage. He had traveling companions, and he could have said to them, "Fellows, we have a handicap now, but let's stick to our purpose." The Apostle Paul had been unusually emphatic in the expression of hostility which lives in the bosom of every person according to his inherited nature ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. His hostility against God had taken form of persecuting the very gospel of Christ by which God himself sought to deliver Paul and all men from the sin into which they had fallen and the damnation which had become their rightful inheritance. Later, Paul was to understand that matter of sin and hostility against God so well that it was he who was moved to comment that it was through the command of God, "Thou shalt not covet," that he had really learned to understand how permeating, how totally engulfing sin is for man in his inherited nature. Not just the outward things, not just the words and deeds. It's the thoughts, even the feelings that infest a person which comprise that sinfulness. And Paul had by that time, of course, become filled with the material of the gospel. He knew the person of Jesus by report thoroughly well. He was acquainted with the historic events of the Christ, or of him who claimed to be the Christ, as Paul would have put it prior to his conversion. But it was that emphatically and sinfully hostile person upon whom the Lord laid hand on the Damascus road, and he was in that moment captivated in conversion, a fact that he confessed already when he said in his response, "Lord." And from that time on, Paul was getting ahead when he was doing what he was told to do by his Lord, when he was serving his Lord and Savior. Doing what he was told had gotten Paul into prison at the time of his writing to the Philippians, in Ephesus, in Caesarea, in Rome. For our purposes of the moment, it's not important to settle that question. What really mattered was that his imprisonment was for Christ, not for any criminality. And the cause of his imprisonment had become known to the whole Praetorian Guard and to all the rest of the praetors or emperor's court. And by that imprisonment, he had cracked a society with the gospel, a society which, humanly speaking, would otherwise have been impenetrable. And that, in Paul's eyes, was getting ahead. Most of the brethren with whom Paul had associated in the church, through his imprisonment and his witness in imprisonment, had been made confident and bold to speak the word without fear. And that, in Paul's eyes, was getting ahead. Some, of course, were preaching Christ from envy and rivalry, others from goodwill. But it is the truth of the message that provides the vehicle of the Holy Spirit to ride into the hearts of man and perform the miracle of conversion, not the motive of the preacher. And so Paul was cheerful in saying, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And that, Paul was getting ahead. Paul was confident that he would continue to get ahead. He was supported by the prayers of the Philippians, supported by the Spirit of his Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that by the gift of God, he was guaranteed staunchness in his faith and witness until he would be set free from prison or set free from the sinful world by dying. And either way, Christ would be honored in his body as he met his destiny with confession of faith and with the full courage of faith. And that, too, for Paul, was getting ahead. It was achieving the purpose of his existence in Christ. To sum it all up, and there is the note of climax and triumphant satisfaction in this, Paul declared, "For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." That was his expression of the short-term and the long-term nature of getting ahead. Well, how could Paul really be that way? By God's grace, he had faith from which flowed love. Nothing was pleasing to Paul unless it was loving Christ and loving people for Christ's sake. Last Sunday's traditional intro, it pleads, "Arise for our help and redeem us." Paul believed that God had arisen, and so do we, and we will seek deepening of faith in receiving the means of grace corporately and privately. Last Sunday's traditional intro declared, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days." Paul got that from the scriptures, from the apostles, from Barnabas, and from other early Christians. We get it from the scriptures, from church history, from our own living experience, from our parents and older contemporaries. By the grace of God, we have faith from which flows love. And that love needs to be called forth and encouraged, as it was in Paul, by Jesus' simple statement immediately following his conversion, you will be told what to do. It will be called forth by prayers, by the Spirit of Jesus, by a person's interaction with his fellow believers. Those same things which called it forth in Paul, call it forth in us. Love flowing from faith. And by the grace of God, our whole idea of getting ahead can be the strange to this world way, put in Paul's words, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let's be sure that we know, however, that neither Paul nor we mean to knock such things as salary increases, job promotions, shorter work weeks, improved pensions, and all sorts of things like that. But we are raising the question concerning such things, for what? Have we gotten ahead when our personal pleasure and satisfaction have been improved? Or have we gotten ahead only when both our capacity for service to Christ and our actual service to Him have increased? Each of the improvements of the sort that we have named bears a great potential for the latter purpose. And we should go on to ask, in our own hearts, is dying our real gain? Or is death what we helplessly settle for on the best terms available when earthly life just cannot be extended any further? Actually, our second best is now. Our best is to come. Pray for yourself and for others. And in prayerful introspection before the Lord, check on how you are getting ahead. Ask the Spirit of Jesus Christ to help you, and then enjoy every real getting ahead that God lets you experience in witness and in service. Be sure in your mind and in your manner that nothing tops living for Christ except God's bringing you, finally, to the gift of eternal life. Amen.